Hi, I'm Steve Thompson, the CEO of Johns Hopkins Medicine International.
And I'm Elizabeth Tracy. And Steve, welcome.
Thanks very much. I'm glad to be here.
Steve, you've had a couple really significant coups this month. Let's talk just a little bit about those, and then maybe we could talk about your latest blog post.
Sure. I think what we've seen, and I think what you're referring to, is actually what seems to be a flurry of activity in South America, particularly Spanish-speaking South America. And while it all culminated at one time, it actually is the result of several months of work independently on several fronts. I think really what is owing to is that there has been so much change in that part of the world, and I think quite positively as a result of effective civil action, civil policing, governmental stability, those sorts of things in that part of the world, creating the environment where people are looking to invest in infrastructure related to, among many things, education, health, healthcare issues.
So a very exciting time, of course, mm-hmm. to be there. South America, a place that's fraught with a history of political instability. How much do you trust the stability that you perceive right now?
Well, as I mentioned, I'm most encouraged by the fact that this huge change has actually occurred through civil activities as opposed to military activities, which previously has been the case in that part of the world.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. Now, do you suspect that that's going to continue?
Well, I think it is. There are lots of indications that, and now speaking more broadly throughout South America, throw in Brazil, other countries that are really on the verge of developing so many things. It's largely born out of looking at developing their natural resource industries and then all of the things that come along with that socioeconomic development.
What are specific challenges that are related to developing a health infrastructure that works with these emerging economies?
The challenge is always, for us, particularly going in, is assessing the baseline or the beginning state, and it's highly variable. Some of these countries have very well established public healthcare systems. Some have private, just working within that to establish the baseline. One of the things that's very encouraging about it, I think, is that, and that will enhance the approach, is the workforce. Unlike other parts of the world, we're finding that there is a well-developed workforce that can come in and help to create these sustainable improvements we're looking for.
This is terribly exciting. Now, of course, we've also had a recent partnership announced with China.
Switching to a completely different part of the world, yes, for a number of years, we've looked for the right entry point, as I've referred to it, for Hopkins in China at an institutional level. It's quite interesting to note that Hopkins certainly has been involved in healthcare and medical education since the early part of the previous century. Quite honestly, with the early establishment through the Rockefeller Foundation of the Peking Union Medical College and Medical College Hospital. So we've had that. There was a bit of a hiatus, as there was for many things in that country. But recently, we've announced that we're working with a very revered institution in that country, the Sun Yat-sen University in Guangzhou, to work with them specifically on a very important emerging need, not only in China, but throughout the world. And that need actually is the development of an effective and a reliable infrastructure to support clinical research, specifically pharmaceutical research.
And will that be largely a data-driven kind of an enterprise?
So our initial work at Sun Yat-sen will focus on developing the infrastructure that will lead to quality data capture, quality research endeavors.
So it's interesting that you mentioned this. In today's New York Times, one of my favorite columnists, David Brooks, is talking about the penetration of the Chinese hacking, essentially, into a lot of computer databases domestically here in this country. That's clearly a big concern. Is that a concern with regard to a Johns Hopkins partnership, that kind of dearth of trust, if you will, that could be possible?
Well, I think it's a concern, and it actually led in many respects to the way that we structured our relationship. And so that is around the development of systems and training of staff so that we avoid that sort of situation, that there is both quality data as well as protections built in around the capture and the use of those data.
It sounds like you need to be really sensitive then to the local conditions when these deals are constructed so that everybody is protected.
Well, absolutely. I don't think it's a secret to anybody to know that biomedical research in China has often come under pretty heavy scrutiny and criticism. And in one respect, we think this is really the Hopkins role to work at that baseline level to help to establish the system and the approach that will ultimately hopefully lead to dissuading people from those kind of views and skepticism about the data that are developed in research in China.
You've mentioned, of course, data and our unique role, Johns Hopkins, in China. So in your blog post this month, you talked about how Hopkins is different from other very prominent institutions nationally that also have an international presence.
Specifically as it relates to China and the choice of our entry point, as I've described it, working on the research infrastructure side, differs from the approach that other organizations have taken in trying to get right into healthcare delivery. We see that we really have the most value to add, given the current state of healthcare and health education in China, to work at the university level and working specifically on this research approach.
That's, of course, unique to China. What about elsewhere in the world? How is Johns Hopkins establishing itself as a unique presence in South America, and again, in contrast to places like Mayo or the Cleveland Clinic?
The key differentiator that Hopkins has in its approach to these global affiliations and associations is that everything is highly customizable and customized specifically not only to meet and consider local conditions, but also customized and adapted to an individual organization's priorities and needs. Those organizations run the gamut of governments to for-profit organizations to NGOs and foundation organizations. So this notion that there's not one way to do it or one approach that works in all conditions or all situations, we recognize that we need to adapt and that we need to be able to incorporate the specific priorities and needs of an individual partner.
What else would you like to add for this month?
It's quite gratifying to me to see the growth of Hopkins international activities around the world. I think that in some ways it begins to validate the approach that we've taken as we've carved out this unique niche between or at the intersection of health, healthcare research, and international business.
It's outstanding. You're to be congratulated. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much. I'm Steve Thompson, the CEO of Johns Hopkins Medicine International, bringing the best of academic medicine to the world.